7.9.
Welcome to Living Extraordinary with Bishop John Guns and the St. Paul Church. Prepare your heart now to be blessed by today's message.
Everyone understand that the faith journey is an extraordinary process. When one commits to a life of radical faith, one chooses to live beyond the boundaries, even when they are obvious and overt. Let me say that again. When one commits to a life of radical faith, one chooses to live beyond the boundaries, even when the boundaries are obvious and overt. The key to this is knowing that God will meet you in your darkest place, and no matter what you are facing, through his son Jesus Christ, he will respond victoriously. It's about behaving in confidence, knowing that everything around you may appear to be crazy, but because the God you serve has the last word in what is seemingly defeated conditions, you will see not only turnarounds, but you will see permanent transformations that will ensure that you will never go back to old places. The thing that I want to encourage everyone with today is that God is consistently God. And if you are open to the consistency of God, you will be blown away. Because of this, you know that it causes you to behave in a way that clearly declares that you trust him. Because you are confident in God, it causes you to behave in a way that clearly communicates you trust him. Because you are confident in God, it gives you the capacity to operate in radical faith. The way that we do this is in a simple act or behavior. It's called asking. That's right. It's called asking. It's when you open your mouth in prayer and declaration, and you with no fear or trepidation articulate to the Lord what you need and what you desire. It's called asking. It's called petitioning. It's called requesting. It's called going before God, Cheeseboro, and believing that God has a desire through his son Jesus Christ to meet you not just at your darkest place, but at your most amazing place. It is the most incredible statement of faith. For when you open your mouth and without hesitation petition the sovereign Lord, you are declaring out of your actions that I believe that God has all power over every situation, and that I am not bound or limited to anything. The lack of money, the lack of resources, the lack of anything, nothing stops me, because when I know who my God is, I show evidence by asking him for anything. And I need you to get this, because radical faith is not something that's kind of misunderstood. It's actually simple behavior. It's operating out of the confidence that God can do anything. The man in our text shows us the powerful, undaunted example of someone who, though it looks really bad, he still confidently asks. Y'all ain't got it. The man shows us that it may look really bad, like really bad. It may look really bad. It may look like there's no hope and there's no possibility, but let me help you. Even when it looks really bad, if you open your mouth and declare to God that, God, you are able to do anything, the God of your soul will get you to a place of victory. I just gotta believe that I don't serve a God that does not want me to be healthy, healed, whole, abundantly prosperous, and victorious. And so I don't sit there complaining about how hard my life is. I don't keep acting like I'm afraid. No, I open my mouth and in confidence, someone say confidence. In confidence, I declare that, God, you have all power. The language the historian Luke uses to record this story bespeaks of a man seeking divine assistance in and through prayer. In fact, the word that is used when it says that the man asked Jesus, that he fell on his face and asked Jesus, the posture and the positioning is that of prayer. His request then is to seek God, and it is because he has an energized faith that would not allow him to be ignored or disregarded. I'm gonna come get you in a minute. He has an energized faith, Dan, that wouldn't allow him to be ignored. Okay, I'm gonna come get you. Simmons, he has an energized faith to kill that wouldn't allow him to be ignored. Okay, I'm gonna say it again. He's got an energized faith that wouldn't allow the Lord to ignore him. Okay, Elder Deborah, I'm gonna say it again. If you are where you should be in your faith level, you're gonna get a response from God, because K, he never ignores people of faith. God, what's amazing about this text is we see the marriage of prayer driven by faith. Listen at the text again. There was a man in a certain town. We don't know what town, who was consumed with leprosy. The language of the text says he was consumed with leprosy. Consumed with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he threw himself down, begged him, sir, if you want to, you make me clean. Jesus is close enough to him where he stretches out his hand and touches him. He says, I want to be clean. And at once the disease left the man. What made the man ask? Three things. And then I'm going to give you some great news, and then we're going to be done. Here's the first thing that made the man ask. Y'all ready? The first thing that made the man ask was that his condition was so distressing that only the power of God could turn him. Okay, watch this. The Bible says, and the man was consumed with leprosy. Doesn't mean that he had a spot on his skin. It was consumed with leprosy. Now, understand that the word leprosy was a term used for skin conditions. So this could have been skin cancer. This could have been a whole lot of different things. Whatever it was consuming him physically, and the man was incapable of turning it around. There was no doctor, Jamisha, that could help him. There were no medications. There were no ointments. There were no woo thing answers. This was all past him. And so the Bible declares, Aubrey, that it is such a bad situation till it went from human ability to divine opportunity. Okay, I'll come get you. God loves you enough that every now and then he'll put you in an only he can moment. Okay. Is there anybody who knows what it feels like when you in an only he can moment? When it don't matter who you know and how much money they got and how much clout they got, they can't fix Jack, because Andrew, this is a only God can moment. And here's what I've learned. Whenever God allows you to end up in only he can, it is not a setup for failure. It's a setup for victory, because every time they in a only you can, God comes through. Only God could open the Red Sea. Only God could bring down Jericho walls. Only God could get them out the fiery furnace. Only God could make the lions not be hungry. Only God could resurrect a dead man. And when you get to the only God moment, that's when you ought to get excited, because what you discover is even in your distressing condition, God is still in charge. I know that sounds like simplistic theology to the real deep thinkers, but here's what's simple. The man asked because he couldn't trust anybody else with it, because everything else had failed. Here's the second reason why he asked, because the testimonies of Jesus' exploits stirred in him a belief that healing was possible. Okay, this is really wonderful. This is really wonderful. The testimonies of Jesus' exploits stirred in him the belief that healing was possible. Okay, I'm going to say it again, because this is really good stuff. It's on the screen. You need to get this. Watch this. The testimonies of Jesus' exploits stirred in him a belief that healing was possible. Here it is. In chapter 4, you hear, or we read about Jesus healing people. In chapter 4, you read about Jesus healing people. And then in the first part of chapter 5, you hear about a group of fishermen who failed all night, and now they catch more fish than they've ever caught. So what's happening, Connie, is that watch this. There is a leak in the earth that's telling on Jesus's business. Okay. We call it testimonies in church, Cheeseboro. That's what we call it, Charles. We call it testimonies. And so people are running around, Tangela, telling all this stuff about Jesus. Caleb, they talking about how Jesus done healed Simon Peter's mom. They're talking about how Jesus has turned people's lives around. around. They're talking about James, how all these people got healed. And by the time we get to this story, there's a very good chance that some of the stories have got to the man's ears. Okay, here this man is a leper. He is in a confined location. He has been quarantined by his situation. And watch this, Sister Jean. And in spite of all of that, the word about Jesus gets to his situation. Some of y'all looking at me like you bored. Boy, I'm having more fun than you are. That's why you need to bring your happy hips to church, and that's why you need to hang around Christians. Here's your problem. You hang around all them nasty, negative, narcissistic, gossipy, petty people, and that don't do nothing for your faith. You need to hang around some people that know that the Lord has done some great things. That's why when you get around your family and your friends, don't you hold your testimony. You need to tell your story. Is there anybody that's got a testimony that the Lord has been good to you? Is there anybody that can testify that when I look at how far God has brought me from, I may not have a license, I may not be ordained, I may not go to anybody's seminary, but I feel like preaching. I feel like telling you that the Lord has brought me out. Is there anybody that can declare that when I look at my life, God has been good to me? But is there anybody that can say, sometime when I got real low, God sent another believer to talk to my spirit? So his condition, he asked because his condition was real distressing. Only God could do it. He asked because the testimonies of Jesus' exploits stirred in him a belief that healing was possible. Faith coming by hearing, hearing the word of the Lord. But here's the last thing. And Claude, you're a preacher. I think this will help us. I wrestle with this. I'm sitting on the plane the other day, and Deaconess Curly, Spirit Lord spoke to me. Said, go back and read the text. I had written the sermon. It was Thursday. That sermon was finished, and that sermon was done, right? Because I'm trying to get back to the point of just writing it. The sermon was done, right? I was just enjoying my life. Sermon done. I couldn't wait to come preach, you know? But then MIT Flowers, I love the way that sounds. Watch this. The Lord said, go back and read the text. So watch this, Alexis, you know, for all y'all budding preachers, keep reading it till it talk. And so I kept reading it. Then all of a sudden, Ken, something jumped out at me. Watch this. Here's the third reason he asked. And this is probably the most important reason. His level of expectation was so intense until it drew Jesus to his need. Okay, I want you to get it. His level of expectation was so intense until he drew Jesus to his knee. Here it is. Simple. This comes from something simple. You ready? It comes from proximity. Okay. Comes from proximity. He was a leper. He could not leave where he was. They were in a confined area. He couldn't leave. They were in a confined area on the outskirts of town. Couldn't leave where he was, right? So because he couldn't leave where he was, and Jesus was not where he was, the text says something very interesting. It says when the man saw Jesus. Now, understand, one of the effects of leprosy was that it affected eyesight. So the man couldn't see far. Okay, you missed it. Yeah, I'm making my point, and y'all taking real slow. The man couldn't see far, but he noticed Jesus. Secondly, he had never really seen Jesus; he just heard about him. So faith make you recognize what you ain't seen. Okay, all right, that's the first thing. Okay, come closer. And then the text says something real interesting. It says when the man saw Jesus, he fell at the feet of Jesus and said, "Sir, if you want to make me clean, you can make me clean." Right? Now, the other thing that leprosy affects is your voice. So you can't really talk real loud. So you can't see far, you can't talk loud, and you can't leave your area. And then the text says something real deep. It doesn't say, and he spoke to the man. It says, and he touched him. Okay. So you can't leave your area, you can't see far, and you can't talk loud, and Jesus touched you. The text says something very interesting. It doesn't say, and Jesus was passing through. It says there was a man in a town. Okay, you missed it. Which means that maybe, let me surmise, that maybe the man's faith drew Jesus to a town that he wasn't planning to go to. Y'all don't know when to shout. When you have expectations.
see, when you are expecting the Lord to do something, your faith can draw him to your situation. It may not even look like he's even going your way. I need about 8 people in here that know that because you believe he's a healer, he's come to hospital rooms. I need you to shout that the fact that because you believe he's a way maker, he's come into the worst of your situations and he's met you at the deepest part of your need. Is there anybody that can look at your life and say, because I know who I serve, he has come in the places of my deepest pain? The power of this is that the man asked, you ready? Because he couldn't help but ask. When you believe at the level this man was believing at, you ain't got no choice. Okay, listen to what the man says. The man says, sir, if you want to make me clean, you can. Okay. If Charles, you helping me today. Thank you. Watch this. Hey, listen to what the man said. Listen, man. The man said, listen, I got something can't nobody fix, but I got a feeling you can. Okay. I need to encourage everybody in the room and tell you, your stuff ain't that big. Oh yeah, good. Y'all got it. Watch this. So here's why he asked. He asked because his condition was distressing. He asked because the testimonies of Jesus stirred something in him. But he asked because his level of expectancy was so intense. So I close with this. I've been waiting to get to this part. Watch this. I love this. Jesus then governed. Watch this. Here's the good news. Whenever Jesus is drawn by desperate, faithful requests that are dripping in faith, 2 things are going to happen. Whenever your desperation is not desperate, but it's faith. Okay, know the difference between being desperate and having faith. I can look like I'm desperate, but I ain't desperate for you, I'm desperate for him. So Eric, watch this, Charles. Two things happen, and I'm done. Here's the first thing. Whenever your faith drives you to request, 2 things happen. First thing is, Jesus, watch this in the text. Jesus, governed by divine compassion, enters his space. Okay, Jesus, governed by divine compassion, enters his space. Okay, I just gave it to you, but now I'll clean up a little bit more. And Jesus touched the man, and he said to him, I want to make you clean. Here it is, all right? Here's the power in verse 13. I want you to notice 2 things that comes with the touch. You ready? Because within these 2 things, there are 2 amazing lessons within the touch thing. Here it is. Here's the first one. You ready? First one is that when Jesus touches him, he restores value to him. Okay. Watch this, Leachy. The man is in a contaminated, confined, quarantine area with a whole bunch of other folk that are messed up. He can't go to church, Claude. You know this. You've preached this before. He can't go to church because he's not welcomed because of his situation. He's had to leave his family, Dan. And so now, Cheeseboro, he's a lonely man around a bunch of sick people all waiting to die slowly. And Jesus touched him. Now watch this. And he touched him, y'all ready? In front of folk who wasn't sick. Okay, y'all don't know when to shout. Because the text clear that the disciples was with him. So they didn't have leprosy. They just wasn't saved yet. You'll catch it on the way home. Because some of y'all don't look sick, but you're sick as a dog because of the way you live and the way you think. But I'll preach that next week. Watch this. Here's what makes me want to shout. It will make me want to shout. It'll make me want to shout. When he touched him, he said to everybody watching, this man is important. Okay, listen. Okay. I know some of y'all trying to act like you got wonderful, perfect self-esteem. I get it. But I need some people in here like me who will admit that when Jesus touched you, he gave you a sense of self-esteem. Because if nothing else, you stop worrying about what people think about you because you understand what he's done for your life. Okay, y'all know I preach a lot. I go a lot of places, and I preach a lot of places. And one time I went to preach, and the person, when I got off the plane, they had a sign for me. They had a sign for me, you know. And the way I dress, here's how I travel. I travel like this. This is how I travel. I don't travel with a collar on and a suit. I travel like this. I travel like this. This perfect for me. I travel like this with my Boston Red Sox jersey on, Ken. I travel like this. Yeah, with my going to the World Series. By the way, we are having church Tuesday, but we will be done by 7:45. Okay. That's the one time. So Claude, govern yourself accordingly. Okay. So I travel like this. I got off the plane and I'm walking toward baggage claim. The guy got a sign for me, and obviously he had never seen my face. I walk up to him and say, "Hey, sir, my name is John Guns." He said, "For real?" I said, "Yeah." I knew what that meant, Denise. That meant you don't look like your reputation. Come here, let me bless some of you. But here's what I came to understand. I may not look like what you think I ought to look like, but you can't take away one reality, because the hand of the Lord is upon my life. It ain't what I look like, it's who I am. You better come get this. Some of y'all need to shout, because you may not drive a Bentley and live in a mansion, but the fact that the Lord has touched your life has given you value that makes your enemies wish they were you. I need somebody here need to get it excited, because you are not because of who you are, because of who you are. You are who you are because the Lord put his hand on you. All right, here's the last thing comes out of this, and this really, Elder Cheryl, makes me want to shout, because this right here makes me want to shout, Mother Body. This right here makes me want to shout. I'm about to encourage some of y'all. King, Lord have mercy. Watch this. Let me hurry up, because I'm getting more excited than y'all are. Okay, watch this. Watch this second thing that's incredible. Second thing that's incredible is when Jesus touches him, he redefines the man's expected end. Okay. Hey, Anthony. What he had a conclusion. Okay, come on, y'all. His condition had an expected conclusion. Everybody that had leprosy died with it. Okay, everybody that had leprosy died with it. But that doggone Jesus, when he touched that man, he said, "You gonna die, but you ain't gonna die from this." Okay. We go shout if I got to shout by myself. You want to know what makes the touch of Jesus so crazy? Is that the stuff that was supposed to happen doesn't happen. Okay. I need some of y'all to come clean and admit that the way you have lived, you should have died a certain kind of way. You should have lost everything by now. But because he put his hand on you, what people thought was going to happen ain't going to happen. Okay. I need somebody to get excited, because your expected end ain't gonna be what you've been going through. It's gonna be victory. And I need you to get excited, because some people think you ain't gonna survive this. But not only am I gonna survive it, but I'm coming out of this victorious. Because when I look at how great God is, he never lets me in the way you thought I was. So in every movie now, they've done something different. They now have an alternative ending to every movie. And I came to tell you that the Lord is writing an alternative end to your story, that it looks like it ain't gonna get no better. But because you just crazy enough to believe God can do anything, I need you to shake your neighbor's hand and say, "Neighbor, gotta get out of here today, but I got good news for you. If you trust in the Lord, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything I could ask for." Is there anybody here that's a living witness that the Lord can turn it around? So hold. to God's unchanging hand. He will. He will. I got to end this now. He will give you what you need. And when he gives you what you need, one thing you ought to do, tell everybody how good he's been to you. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, don't you hold your peace. Because when I think about how good he's been to me, I can't help but praise him. I said I wasn't gonna tell nobody, but I couldn't keep it to myself. Is there anybody here that can testify that the Lord is good and worthy to be praised? Open your mouth, lift your hands, give God a praise for how good he's been to you. Somebody holler, yeah, 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 yeah. Everybody stand. Since you believe, ask. Since you believe, ask. What you're not asking for? Why are you just taking this? Why aren't you believing God can turn this? Why don't you believe that God can do this? Why are you automatically, immediately using your logic to fix this problem? Why aren't you just believing God? Why do you go immediate to what you think? And you don't say, God, I think you can. You can do this. Next week, I'm preaching from Joshua about Jericho walls. The text. And Joshua said, the Lord's going to give us this city. It didn't say, and the Lord told him. Okay, you'll get it. That's called a trailer. That's a preview for next week. See, the power of real faith is that it never goes into a situation from a disadvantage. It just goes into it from bad optics. You got to tell you. The optics look bad because sight always says it ain't going to get better. Faith says this ain't nothing but a testimony waiting to happen. So if Andrew worked with these young men, but all he sees is caskets and jail cells, he's not going to be encouraged. But if he works with them and he sees college graduates, then even when it gets really bad, Andrew, you are still inspired to keep working. Why? Because what you see is the outcome is different from what you see in the story. Is that making sense? See, when I look at this church, I don't see struggle. So it's hard for me to see certain things because what I see is victory. Am I making sense here? When I look at you, I don't see you as struggling. I see you as somebody that God's got his hand on. When I look at Claude and Alexis, I don't see them as this couple married for a few weeks. No, I see them as God's going to do amazing things with their life. Here's what's crazy. Your faith level determines what you declare while you're waiting on God to do it. Does that make sense, Deborah? Yeah. So, Aubrey, I don't fear situations anymore. I don't say I don't get nervous, but always I just believe. So since I believe, ask. Every head bow, every eye close. Wow. Did y'all get it? Today, we ask. So what do you want God to do? Who do you want God to save? Who do you want God to turn around? What situation do you want God to fix? I'm asking God to release a spirit of hunger in this church, but I'm asking God to just remove every barrier financially and numerically and spiritually and educationally, every barrier in our church. Why? Because I want you to see how amazing God can be through this church. But more importantly, I how amazing God can be through you. Come on, ask.
This has been Living Extraordinary with Bishop John Guns. Join us Sundays in worship at 3738 Winton Drive, Jacksonville, Florida, 32208. Visit us online at www.spmbcjacks.org for service times and more.